Good morning. We welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, host of the program. I'm the minister for the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, and we would invite you to come anytime you have an opportunity to visit us. We would enjoy having you so that we can study and worship God together. This morning, I want to talk about redemption. In our songbook, we have a song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redemption is a great Bible word, a great Bible theme, and we all need to be thinking about what it means. This morning, we're going to talk about the need for redemption. We're going to talk about the place of redemption, the result of redemption, the cost of redemption, and finally, the goal of redemption. What does the word redemption mean? We might redeem a coupon. We might take it into the store, and that is used as money to pay for a particular item. And so we give them the coupon, and they give us the particular item there in the store. We might redeem a coupon. Redemption just simply means to pay a price so that something can be released to us. And so we give them the coupon, they give us the particular item that we want from the store. Redemption. Redemption. We need redemption in our life. We need to be released from sin. In Luke chapter 1, when the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, was praising the Lord concerning the coming of John the Baptist, we find in Luke chapter 1 and verse 67 that Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the God, the Lord and God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And he goes on to talk about how that his son John the Baptist would come. He would be the prophet of the Most High, and he would give knowledge of salvation in the remission of their sins. Verse 77. That's how God's people would be redeemed. They would have redemption of sins through the preaching of John the Baptist and preparing the way for Jesus to come, and the preaching of Jesus as well. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and wrought redemption for his people. Redemption means to be delivered or to be released. The Greek word lutrosis, the noun redemption, or the verb lutrao, means to deliver or release. And in the Bible, it could be used for both physical deliverance from physical bondage or a problem, or spiritual deliverance from sin. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. But a couple of examples of physical deliverance in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, Jesus told about the coming destruction of Jerusalem. And he told about how that people, if they followed his word, they could be delivered from that coming Roman army. And so he says, lift up your eyes for your redemption is near. They could be delivered from that Roman army that was coming on Jerusalem if they would follow his word and flee when they saw that abomination of desolation coming. In Acts chapter 7 in verse 35, Moses led the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And we find in Acts chapter 7 and verse 35, when Stephen is preaching about this, speaking of Moses, him hath God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer, a redeemer, with the hand of the angel that appeared to him in the bush. He gave the Israelites physical freedom or release from Egypt, leading them out of Egypt. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, in the judgment day, the righteous, their bodies will be delivered from that old body of corruption. The body that we have now gets sick, it gets old. We will be delivered from that. It's called the redemption of the body. We will be given a glorified body. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35, some people were faithful to God and they were tortured. And they were not delivered from that torture. They went all the way to their death serving God. They had to be martyred and tortured for serving God. Faithful individuals in the Old Testament times. And so some were not delivered from that torturous death because they remained faithful. And so we have physical deliverance. But this morning on the program, we want to talk about something even more important than that, and that is spiritual deliverance from sin. Spiritual deliverance from sin. And we find, for example, when Mary and Joseph bring the small child Jesus, he's just a few days old, they bring him to Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 38, Anna, the prophetess, cries out in praise, and she was giving thanks to God and spake of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. How can we be saved from our sin? And the same thing in Luke chapter 24 and verse 21. So redemption can be deliverance or release from sin, and we need that. So this morning, let's talk about, first of all, the need for redemption. We need to be released and delivered from our sin. We have been enslaved in sin. When a person commits sin, which is a violation of God's word, 1 John 3, verse 4, transgressing God's word, we are in bondage to that sin, and we need to be released from that. We can't just release it ourselves. We need Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews, verse 32, if you know the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. These Jews answered Jesus, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How say you that you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever, the Son abideth forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. They needed to be freed not physically, but spiritually from sin. And the Son, Jesus, was the one who could do that. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, we read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And when he was converted and became a Christian, he was also given a commission to go preach the gospel as one of the apostles of Christ. And his mission is given in Acts chapter 26 and verse 17 when the Lord spoke to him. The Lord said to Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee. Now listen carefully. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. And so delivered from the power of darkness, turning from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. When we commit a sin, we are in Satan's service, and we need to come out of that and leave that. The Apostle Paul talks about conversion in Colossians chapter 1. And what is conversion? It's turning from the devil and turning to Christ. Well, what happens? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13, speaking of Jesus, who delivered us, there's your redemption, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And so we come out of that power of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we all know of individuals when they are living in sin, it's like they are in the power of the devil. They're saying and doing and thinking things that the devil once said and thought and done. And they're in his power, they're doing his will, doing his bidding, and they need to come out of that. They need to be released from that. So first of all, there is a need for redemption. We don't need to be like the Jews of Jesus' day and say, well, we don't need any freedom, we're fine. Jesus said, no, you're in bondage to sin, and the Son shall make you free. But did you notice there, friend, in John chapter 8 and verse 32, the truth shall make you free. You see, we have to come to the gospel, the truth of the New Testament message. It's not just being freed by a feeling or what we think or what we feel or what we have ideas about or what we feel in our heart. It's coming to a knowledge of the truth. The truth shall make you free. And of course, that truth, John 17, verse 17, is God's word. Jesus, speaking of his Father, said, thy word is truth. And so we turn to the truth, the pages of the New Testament. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. So number one, we need redemption. Number two, where is the place in which that redemption takes place? We are freed, we are delivered, we are released in Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is a great chapter that starts off pointing out how that all men have sinned. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When we grow up and we get to that accountable age of where we know right from wrong and we violate God's word, we sin. All have sinned as they grow up and fall short of the glory of God. Now listen carefully, verse 24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation," a sacrifice, "through faith in His blood to show His righteousness, because the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. For the showing, I say, of His righteousness at this present season, that He might be Himself just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus." And so being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Where is the place of redemption? It is in Christ Jesus. And we're going to talk about in just a minute about how that we can get into Christ Jesus. How can we get into the body of Christ to reap the blessings and benefits of that redemption? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul writes about Jesus, "But of Him," Jesus, "are you in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." We have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He provides wisdom for us through His Word. He provides righteousness for us by dying on the cross and giving us a way to be right and telling us in His Word how to be right. He gives us sanctification when He tells us how to be set apart from sin, and He gives us redemption. All of that is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in any other man. It's not found in any other religion other than that which was formed by Jesus Christ. It's not found in any kind of latter-day revelation. It's not found in any sort of feel-good philosophy. It's found in Jesus Christ. There is no other place where the deliverance and the release is going to come from. Number three, what is the result? What is the result of being redeemed? Well, we've already gotten a hint of that earlier in the statement of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He said that redemption would come when there would be forgiveness of sins. And that's exactly the result of redemption. Do you remember that passage that we read just a moment ago in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14? We're delivered out of that power of darkness and we're translated into the kingdom of God's Son. And what is the result of all of that? What is accomplished in that? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, "in whom," that is in Jesus, that's the place where it is found, "in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." That's the result of the whole thing. We need redemption because we need forgiveness of sins. Those sins that we've transgressed, we need deliverance from the guilt and the power of sin. And the blood of Jesus allows us to have that. And we have to apply that blood to our lives, just like the Old Testament Jew had to apply the blood on the doorpost so that the God would pass over that home and not kill the firstborn in leaving Egypt. The Passover and the firstborn. When I see the blood, I will pass over that home and I will not kill the firstborn in that home. The blood had to be applied. In the same way, we have to apply the blood of Jesus in our life. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, "And for this cause He," Jesus, "is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they that have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." And so a death having taken place for the redemption. Death has to be made by Jesus. And we find later in verse 22, "Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." And so we can have forgiveness of sins because Jesus died on the cross. And that's what we need most. And so when the Lord promised a new covenant, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 8, that new covenant would be where sins are taken away. Verse 12, Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their iniquities and their sins will I remember no more. How did that come about? When Jesus died on the cross, He dedicated that new covenant, He shed His blood, and people who come and obey Him can have the blessings of that. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 9, through His own blood He entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And so it's available for all time if we will come and obey Jesus Christ. So the need for redemption, the place of redemption is in Jesus Christ. The result of redemption is forgiveness of sins. Now, let's talk a little bit about the cost of that redemption. And we've already seen that. It cost Jesus His own blood. He died on the cross, friends, for you and me. Will you just simply ignore that? Will you not do anything about that? Will you go on your way and just simply do nothing? Or will we come and obey the Lord? In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul at the beginning of the book of Ephesians has a lot to say about the blessings that we have in Christ. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. That's Jesus. Now look, listen carefully to verse 7. In whom, that is Jesus, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption through His blood. We have been bought by Jesus' blood on the cross. That was the purchase price. That's like us going into the store and redeeming the coupon. We give the piece of paper, we pay the price so that we can get the product. And Jesus paid the price so that He could have the product, the forgiveness of sins. That's why He came into the world, to seek and to save the lost and to die for the sins of mankind. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve others. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Jesus says the same thing. Why did Jesus come to the earth? To serve us, friends, to sacrifice and serve us. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Jesus is described there as giving His blood for the church. The Apostle Paul is talking to the elders of the church there at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 17, He calls together the elders, and then in verse 28, He calls them the bishops. And by the way, in today's denominations and churches, elders and bishops are two different individuals. But in the New Testament church, they were the same individual. Two different words describing the same work. An elder meaning an older man, a bishop meaning an overseer. They were the same person. They weren't different people like they are today. So many people have changed the pattern of the New Testament church. But Paul is talking to these bishops, these elders, in verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. Jesus shed His blood, and those who come to Him and obey Him, He purchases them with His blood. They belong to Him. They are His now. That is the purchase price. And notice that Christians who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, they have an obligation to live properly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul reminds the Corinthians to flee fornication. They were not to engage in sexual immorality there in the town of Corinth. They were to stay away from that and use their bodies for the Lord. And here's the reason, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. What was that? The blood of Jesus. You were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. That's why we don't need to use our bodies for fornication. We don't need to put drugs into our body, alcohol into our body, tobacco into our body. We put our things into our body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to use our body in the Lord's service. And when we destroy it, with these things, we certainly are not using our body the way the Lord wants us to. So we have been purchased with a price. Again, in chapter 7 and verse 23, you were bought with a price. Become not bondservants of men. This is an interesting thought. We belong to Jesus. We're not to be bondservants of men. We're not to let men tell us what to do. With regard to our relationship to God, we certainly follow the laws of the land, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, 15 through 17. We obey the laws of the land, but we're not bondservants of men in the sense of listening to what man tells us to do and forces us to do that is contrary to the Word of God. We belong to Jesus. We do what He says. And so we have been purchased with a price. We already read Hebrews 9, 12 through 15, that Jesus shed His blood for that eternal redemption. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. How do we become Christians? Well, Jesus shed His blood and we obey the gospel. We have our sins washed away in baptism. And what was the price paid for that? We need to remember how precious the blood of Jesus is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. No physical money like silver or gold was paid. It was the precious blood of Jesus that was paid. And we certainly need to remember that. And so, The cost was the precious blood of Jesus, and we have to apply that blood in baptism in order to have that redemption. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 5, that's where we contact the blood of Jesus. It's not by faith only, friends. It's by believing in Jesus in our heart, confessing Him with our mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, repenting of our sins and being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. So many people today preach faith-only redemption. No, it's blood redemption, and it has to be by contacting that blood. How do we do that? In baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, are you not ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Friends, it's in baptism that we contact the death and the blood of Jesus. Ananias told Saul to be baptized. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. The blood of Jesus washes away sin, but it's when we contact that blood in baptism. God says that when I see you baptized, I see you contacting that blood. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Colossians 2 and verse 12. Having been buried with Him, that's Jesus, having been buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God. It's nothing that we're doing. It's nothing in the water. Some people say, well, y'all believe in water salvation. No, look at it. It's the working of God. Having been buried with Him in baptism, wherein you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God. This is God's work. This is what He wants us to do. Who raised us from the dead? And you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did He make alive together with Him, having forgiven us our trespasses. When did that happen? When we were buried in baptism with Him. It's nothing that we're doing to earn our salvation. It's the working of God. And we need to remember that. And then one final passage in Galatians chapter 3, it's baptism that puts us into Christ where we have this redemption. We find in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." This is where we can be clothed with that great garment of redemption. And so, we have been bought with a purchase price, and we contact that blood in baptism. And then last of all, the goal of redemption. What is the goal of this whole thing? Contacting the blood of Jesus in baptism, having forgiveness of sins, being released from the power of the devil. What is the whole goal of that? Well, back to Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 14, Ephesians 1:14, "which is an earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession unto the praise of His glory." We are redeemed so that we can belong to God, God's own possession unto the praise of His glory, so that He can get the glory for saving us. We have been redeemed in order to belong to God. We have been redeemed in order to be pure and to serve Him. In the same book, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of your redemption." We live by the words of the Holy Spirit. We live a good, clean, and pure life. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Jesus died on the cross so that we could be redeemed. And we find in Titus 2:13, "looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us," now listen carefully, "that He might redeem us from all iniquity," we've already seen that, but look at this, "and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good works," so that we can belong to God, so that we can belong to Jesus, but look at it, "that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself." We've got to live pure and holy lives, a people for His own possession, and then also we have to be zealous of good works. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. We're living a pure life. We're working for Him. That is the whole goal of redemption. Coming out of the power of the devil so that we can belong to God and Jesus and work for them and serve them and do great things for the Lord. Friend, have you been redeemed? You need it if you're in sin. It's found only in Jesus Christ. You can have forgiveness of sins because Jesus shed His blood for you, but you have to contact that blood in baptism. Let us help you do that. Let us help you be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and wash away those sins, wash away that old man, and come out delivered from the bondage of the devil. Are you tired of being in the devil's service? Tired of being in bondage to him? Want to be freed, liberated? What a great feeling that would be to come up out of that water of baptism, liberated and freed from the power of the devil. Let us help you do that very thing. Some people don't consider that. They don't care about that. They don't consider how enslaved they are to sin. They're fine and happy, but the devil is bringing them down. And I think about the proverb that says, "the way of the transgressor is hard." It's a hard life serving the devil. All of the sorrows and problems and terrible things that he causes in a person's life. Be freed from that. Be redeemed from that. Let us help you do that. I love that song in the songbook, "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It." And we've tried to proclaim it this morning on this program, looking at what is written about it in God's Word to encourage you to come out of that power of darkness and come into the kingdom of His Son. If we can help you do that through a study of the Bible in your own home or wherever it would be convenient for you, or if you'll come and study with us at the Memorial Boulevard congregation, we would love to have you. But let us be redeemed. And when we come up freed from the devil's power, come up out of baptism, we can proclaim that to others and help them as well. Thank you for listening this morning. We appreciate your kind attention, and we ask that you would tune in again next Sunday morning for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We bid you a good day.